Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
That was Alex Spire of the Boston Globe. Will Fleming, who's a buddy of mine and used to work many, many years ago at 106.7 The Fan in D.C. with me as an anchor while he was climbing the minor league ladder as a broadcaster. He's now one of the voices of Red Sox baseball. He joined Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, the show I do with Danny Ruye, to talk about Toboni, who he both has covered, but also personally gotten to know very, very well over the last few years. Let's just talk about the news of the day here. And the reason we got you on, which, as you said, is Paul Toboni. This is, for people that don't know, a rising star. He's just 35 years old. He's gone from, you know, an intern at one point in time now to running a baseball operation in his mid-30s. But it's a meteoric rise in Boston. So tell us about Toboni and how he became the president of baseball operations. It sounds like is going to be the title for the Nationals at 35.
Well, I mean, I think you guys will get a chance to meet him pretty soon, and I'm sure you'll have him on all the time. He's one of my favorite people that I've ever known in baseball. And I think what Paul does so well, and the reason that he has become such a star, is he balances, to me, the two essential things in baseball, which right now in the modern game, by a lot of these new age GMs, are not balanced. And that is, you have to know all the new wave stuff. You've got to lean into the technology. You're not just hiding in a cave and ignoring this stuff, which he leans into it. He's a big proponent of a lot of the scouting stuff and the, I'm sure you've heard the word driveline a lot today when talking to people about him. And he's into that stuff. But to me, he pairs that with what is his superpower, and that is a real investment in people. Like, I think his emotional intelligence is maybe his best strength, which is saying a lot because this is a guy who ran drafts for the Red Sox, and he was out on the road talking to parents of high school and college kids and found sort of a secret sauce between, you know, kind of tools and personality traits and things that really then paired with a great development system, which, by the way, he developed, has really borne a lot of fruit for the Red Sox. So I think the combination of a curiosity about what's great about this game and what the new tools that are at everybody's disposal, but also a real humility. And I think that's another word that really comes to mind with Paul for me is humility. I can't tell you guys how many times I've been in dugouts with him, with guys like Will Middlebrooks and Kevin Millar. And we have conversations with him about young players and their development and what's going on with Christian Campbell or Marcelo Meyer. And Paul answers questions with questions to former players. Like, well, you were in this situation. What would you think about this kind of a struggle against this kind of a pitch? So I just think he's kind of an open book and a wonderful, you know, curious human being. Coupled with, he's got this huge brain that obviously sort of takes in all the stuff that baseball executives need to have in their toolkit. So I think it's a home run hire. I think it's really important that the Nationals support him with the same things the Red Sox have supported Craig Breslow and Paul with. That obviously is the next big step and unanswered question. How much leeway does he get to hire his own people? How much resource allocation does he get at all levels, minor league and big leagues? That's the next step for the Nats, but I would be encouraged if I'm a Nationals fan today, because it seems to me that the willingness to bring him on. Look, Paul could have had a lot of jobs. I mean, this is one of the guys who is in every process, who was named at every opening, including ours, by the way, a couple of years ago. So I would imagine that he and his agent and all the folks in this process said, all right, if I'm going to come here, these things need to be there for me. So I think it's really encouraging for the Nats.
Well, I had a buddy who started off as a scout and wanted to be a GM, and he basically was told, like, hey, I'll help you get a job at the league office. You can learn about salary and arbitration and all those, you know, boring things that scouts don't normally deal with, and that kind of helped him on his track. This doesn't sound like, you know, he obviously had his kind of own in-house training as he took on more and more, but give me an example that sort of parallels that. In other words, he came up as a scout. What's something that he learned and now kind of is part of his toolkit?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think the cool thing is in the last couple of years, not only have they empowered him to run drafts and pick guys like Campbell and Anthony and all these stars of the future and present for the Red Sox, but I think he's now been very involved in high-level contract negotiations with some of these players. Like, I know he was very involved with Roman Anthony, and that turns out to be sort of like the modern generation Ronald Acuna deal. I really think that. I mean, I think Roman Anthony's going to be the next superstar in the game, and they got him for $130 million. And I know that Paul was instrumental in that, and I think that that goes back to his knowing the player, knowing the family, and knowing what makes him tick and what he wants. I mean, I just think that I don't know that I have an exact specific three or four answers to your question, Danny, but I would just say that he has just been full on into every aspect of the organization and is one of these guys who just wants to take on as much as the organization has been willing to give him. Like, yeah, he was a great amateur scout and he identified high school and college attributes that lead to future prospects and pros, but then he also got into the arbitration side of things and the salary negotiations, and he was in the room talking about trade pieces and all of those things. Like, I just, as you guys know, when you do what I do, I'm talking to these front office guys about 25 different kinds of things. Not only is it, what's this prospect look like? What are we looking for in this draft? What do we need at this trade deadline? And by the way, what goes into all of those decisions? And I can just speak from my own personal experience that every time I asked him a question, he had the most thoughtful, nuanced answer that sort of tells you that he's just been a total sponge at all corners of the organization. He's totally trusted by everybody in the front office. He's got a great, delicate human touch. And I just think that he is a guy who also maybe knows what he doesn't know all the time and will bring in other people who are maybe more expert at some of that stuff. But I think there's not many things that a modern baseball executive needs to do that he's not really sort of class A in already.
Will Fleming, one of the voices of Red Sox baseball, with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You mentioned that he blends both backgrounds, right? He has been a scout. He's got the data and analytics side as well. What bucket would you put him in on a binary? Is he an analytics guy or is he a scouting guy?
Oh, man. You know, what's cool is I want to, like, take the cop out and say he's right in between the two.
Yeah.
But I think in the modern game, you'd be lying if you said that any of these guys who are going to get these jobs and run teams aren't at least a tick or two towards analytics. But again, it's like everything else. Like, is Adam Peters pro analytics? Of course he is. But did he bring back Bobby Wagner because he's a leader and Zach Ertz in the locker room? Yes. And so I think, I'm not trying to tell you that Paul Toboni is the next Adam Peters. That would be a big leap given what Adam has done in even just a year there. But I think he potentially has that kind of a future in terms of just making use of all of the tools and technologies available and also blending them with the human side of things. Like, he is invested in everybody at almost every level of the minor league system and big league club in what their life looks like, what their development path looks like. I cannot remember a time where I asked him about a player at double A or in the big leagues, and he didn't have like a long detailed answer about what they're working through, what the offseason plan coming up looks like. So he might slant a little bit toward analytics, but he knows it's a people business. He knows that at the end of the day, it's a game played by human beings, and so you got to support them. I just think that he does the perfect job of balancing those things, and I'm excited to see what he does in D.C.
I've had him on my SiriusXM prospect show before because he was running their system at one point. And to your point, like his breadth of knowledge on all those players was always very, very impressive. How much credit do you think he deserves for their renaissance from a scouting and player development standpoint over the last 5-6 years?
A ton. I mean, I think he ran the draft room, basically. I mean, there were other people involved, Rickard and Pearson and some other guys in the organization who now, you know, oversee the entire draft system. But I can tell you that he was trusted completely and was the driving force behind a lot of the scouting reports that went into, especially the amateur picks that they made. I think the one thing that he's done, and maybe this answers Danny's question a little bit more accurately, is the thing that they've empowered Paul to do in Boston the last couple of years is he has learned so much stuff. This is a guy who visits Driveline and all these other academies and is in the weeds with these people about what it is that makes athletes and hitters and ballplayers perform at the highest levels. So he's looking for that in prospects and players, but then what they've emboldened him to do is put that at every layer of the minor league system. And whether it's, you know, technology-based swing analysis, all the biomechanics that all of our pitchers are now leaning into, it takes real organizational buy-in and, by the way, dollars and investment to get the tools in place to do that. And, again, I hope that the Nats give him that, because if he's given the resources, I think it's going to be a very quick, you know, sort of turnaround. The Nats have a really nice young player pool, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons he was drawn to the job there. I think he sees a lot of promise in their young talent pool, and I promise you that in the same way that he did, he's got a great chance to improve the upside of a lot of the young players in SF.
Okay, Will Fleming with the Sierra on G&D, and you live into my question, Will. It's a different ball game down here currently, the way it's been the last several years in terms of ownership, spending, investment, involvement, et cetera. Yeah. It's impossible to say because we don't know yet. We don't know how engaged people are going to be in that office. But how did he navigate the – because it's easy to say, hey, I need this, this, and that, and then if you get it, great. If not, you know, it's convincing ownership or the higher levels to open up the checkbook, et cetera. If you don't show results, what happens there? I guess the question is, how do you think he'll be able to navigate it where it's not a $200 million paywall right now? It's a tenth of that.
It's a very difficult question to answer because I just don't know enough about the inner workings on the Nat side, right? Like, from my personal experience, he's been super compelling in all the arguments he's made here. And for all the grief that John Henry takes for, you know, at times maybe not spending as much as Steve Cohen, John has always been willing to allocate resources to win in Boston. So if you make a good case to John, he's going to spend. I don't know that the learners have proven that yet. Now, the fact that they fired Mike, who, by the way, I loved. I had a great relationship with him in the way that you guys do, too. I think Mike was a great old-school baseball guy. But I think as the postmortems kind of came out and you learned about all of the ways in which the Nats didn't invest and the whole system was just, you know, light years behind, you know, I think maybe the ownership, I think it's a good owner, not Dan Snyder, a good owner hires people to do their jobs and leaves them alone. And maybe at all times he's not turning over every rock and saying, well, what's the field coordinator looking like in the minor leagues? That's not really the job of an owner. And then when things fail as much and as drastically as they did in D.C., then all of a sudden you kind of run an autopsy and you realize how far behind the rest of the game you are. And Danny and Grant, you guys both know this game, There are plenty of smart people who think they have all the answers, and that if they have all the technology and they invest all the money and they lean into the data and they bring 75 people with laptops on every team charter, they're going to have the answers. And there are a ton of those that do not work, right? You have to have this stuff. But again, that human side of things, and it does go back to some of that humility and that scouting piece of things. You can have all the technology and you can have all the resources you want. If you can't, in a true baseball sense, identify what makes winning and losing players, how to build a culture, how to bring leaders in. Like, I think today there's a massive competitive void between the general managers who understand that if you have adults in the room who've been there and done that, and those who don't, I don't understand those who just think you can win on a spreadsheet. And there are a lot of people running baseball organizations right now that feel that way. And I can tell you that Paul is not one of those two.
Danny, you and I talked about it, really enjoying the comeback, the Netflix story on Boston. There was then another subsequent Netflix series on the Red Sox mm-hmm. season last year, yep. right? Starring Will Fleming. Like, a few of the players were in it, too.
Like, featuring Jaron Duran.
Yeah, I think Duran made an appearance. Rafael Devers had, like, a scene. I think Bayo may have been featured.
Yeah.
But it was actually the Will Fleming documentary.
The Will Fleming story.
There was not a little bit of you in there, Will. I loved it. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, I knew that, you know, we had a camera in our booth for the whole series, and they were following us around, and I sat down for a few interviews. You know, one thing that I realized after that was I need to stop eating so many Chick-fil-A sandwiches on the charter, because something about HD cameras makes you look like you're about 25 pounds heavier. So I've taken it a little easy on the steak sandwiches and the clam chowder on the plane.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
But that was so fun to be a part of. And by the way, seriously, can you imagine at the Netflix offices right now what they're saying about what might have been if they'd waited 1 year this season, where the Red Sox trade Rafael Devers? They have the ascension of one of the great next superstars. They've got all this drama around the trade deadline, and they're in the playoff push. I think they would have loved to have been around this year, but it was really cool to have them around for last season.
Yeah, that show was awesome, and you were great, buddy. I really appreciate the time and insight, man. Have a great call this evening.
Yeah, I love listening to you guys. Thanks for having me on anytime. And, you know, in the next couple of years, let's have a Red Sox-Nats World Series, and I'll come on with you again.
I'll sign up right away.
Sign me up for that. Beautiful to
hear. Thanks, guys. You'll love Paul Toboni, I promise.
They got Willa. They got my daughter.
I need to find her.
Acclaimed director Paul Thomas Anderson.
You can save that girl.
Today, experience what is being called the best movie of the year.
This is the end of the line.
Not for you.
Leonardo DiCaprio, Sean Penn, Benicio del Toro, Tiana Taylor, Chase Infinity.
Let's go! Here
I am. One battle after another, now playing only in theaters. Experience it in IMAX. Rated R. Under 17, animated without parent. You can hide.
That's Will Fleming, one of the voices of the Boston Red Sox. I can't stress enough just how many positive things, both solicited and unsolicited, I heard about Toboni from baseball people all over the country today. There were no negative words being spewed. I mean, people think Washington really took a big swing and hit a home run with this hire. Speaking of home runs, Toby, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention here at the very end of the pod, James Wood, 2 home runs today, 3 home runs in 2 games. It took a while, but he is big back, my friend. He has now basically over the last few days equaled where he was in the second half in terms of power after 24 homers before the break. But he ends up going into this final stretch now, final four or so games of the season, 30 home runs for him in his age 22 season, just turned 23 years old, 92 runs batted in, still a very good chance to drive in between 95 and 100 runs. He's going to end up with 15 to 20 stolen bases. OPS is a team leading 827. There's going to be a lot of time in the offseason for us to talk about what happened, why the end of the season, second half post All-Star break went the way that it did. But what a year for this guy. I mean, 30 bolts, and he's catching fire again. Had a 450-foot homer, two balls to dead center. Just vintage first half James Wood. It looks like he's figuring something out finally.
Sometimes he just does stuff to remind you because it's been such a weird second half for him, where it has been a little bit discouraging to see the number of strikeouts racked up. We know how special he is. We watched the first half together and saw him do stuff that not many guys in the sport can do. But seeing one of the home runs in this Atlanta series where he goes opposite field, Grant, and looks like a right-handed pull homer. I mean, it just the power that he has is absurd. And when he's locked in, when he's going well, frankly, there's not a lot of better power hitters in the sport. And his ability to just drive the ball to all fields and specifically to left field is so special. And it's something that we've got to really figure out. Maybe not us, but the coaching staff really needs to figure out. And James Wood needs to figure out as well what was going on in the second half that didn't allow him to be as successful as he was in the first half. Maybe it's just going through a full 162, Grant. That could be part of it, too. We've heard from people around the team that he's kind of worn down a little bit and gotten gassed. And this is the first time we talk about this guy as the superstar of the team. This is also still his first time playing a full 162 at the big league level. And by the way, you've brought this point up a ton, being the number one guy that you circle in Sharpie, that you cannot let this guy beat you. This is the guy that you are making sure that you do not give the meatball to, because he's going to send it 10 rows deep in somewhere in the outfield. And so it's a credit to him to finish the season strong like he has over these last couple of games. And he'll have a final series against the White Sox to pad a few more stats. But I mean, seriously, 30 homers, 92 ribbies in your first full season in the bigs. There's not a lot of guys in the Nationals organization, period, ever that have done that. They've had great guys that have come through here. But I the ceiling is still sky high for him. And anybody that has gotten to a point where they wanted to jump off the James Wood bandwagon is, frankly, foolish. And he just showed you once again today that when he's going well, and they got to figure out a way to make it sure that the lows don't get as low as they did at points in the second half. But when he's going well, this is a guy you can build a team around. And I think if you asked Paul Toboni, one of the guys that he's excited to work with, it's this dude, because this is a franchise cornerstone type player.
Yeah, if you don't have James Wood, I'm not sure that you can attract the Paul Toboni. You know what I mean? Like, one way or the other, whatever his vision is long term, James Wood allows you to get there as the centerpiece of your organization, or because you know that if need be in 3 or 4 years, he can get you a Soto return or whatever. I'm not suggesting that's what he's thinking, but like, that's the worst case scenario. If you're not able to extend him, then, you know, that's a piece that adds an unbelievable amount of value to the gig and just gives you the possibility of being great at some point, because you have a player like him in your organization to ideally be the centerpiece and the MVP of a World Series team a few years from now. By the way, Dalen Lyle, two more hits today. His batting average is up to .296. Post All-Star break, in 200 at bats in 55 games, he's hitting .330 with a .925 ops. I mean, this is no longer like a cute, fun story. This is just a legitimate hitter who looks like he's the most advanced, maybe consistent hitter on the team at this point, with that .296 average and an .822 OPS.
We can definitely dive into this as the offseason approaches, but if you were a betting man, if you were setting odds, Grant, what are the odds that your starting outfield next year is Lyle, Cruz, and Wood on opening day?
Well, it better be. You know, it just needs to be. And Jacob Young may win the Gold Glove this year, which is something we'll talk about on the next pod. I think he's got a really good chance to, because the timing this year of all these acrobatic, amazing athletic catches while ballots are due and going out, I think is actually going to help him a little bit. So it'd be really, really cool if he won the Gold Glove, and he's deserving of it. But
you know, he's going to get in where he fits in. Robert Hassel is just not shown enough or done enough, not to say that he's gotten a great opportunity. But I don't know what, as I've said all along when we've talked about him and Lyle and everybody else, like, I don't know what he does better than the other guys, right? He does everything okay, but Lyle is can rake. I mean, he's going to hit. Yeah. This is Michael Brantley. James Wood is the superstar. Dylan Cruz does everything at a 55 level, basically, at this point. You know, even in a disastrous kind of batting average season, you know, he's going to be at a point where he's been very good lately. You know, he's going to end up around 215, 220. It's about 20, 25 points below league average on like a 20-homer pace. And if he plays center and hits 20 homers and steals 35 bases, and next year it's 235, 240, which is not a big jump at all, oh, by the way, like, that's a guy that's going to be a 5-win player for you, the way he plays defense, probably, if things check out. So, yeah, that's what it needs to be. That's what it should be. I hope Toboney looks at this and goes, wait a second, Dylan Cruz has to play center. Let's start doing that at once, you know? But the bottom line is Lyle has played his way into a starting role. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's no question in my mind. Like, one of either Young or Hassel can settle as the fourth outfielder, and potentially the other could be on the trade block in the offseason or something of that nature. The only reason Daylen Lyle's not in the starting lineup on opening day would be because you went out and spent a lot of money, which I still don't fully believe is going to happen. And even then, I still think you got to find a spot for him as either a DH, which I don't think they would end up doing that, but you've got to find a spot. You got three outfielders and you got a DH spot if you need to move one of the guys out of the outfield. If you were to go spend big on somebody in the offseason, say Kyle Tucker or something like that, somebody's going to DH there. And Daylen Lyle has shown so much at the end of the year that he's a spark plug kind of player that even though he's not going to give you 30 homers in a corner outfield, because that's the one part he needs to work on is his defense. But, you know, he's not going to give you 25, 30 homers in a corner outfield spot, but he gives you everything else. He's a spark plug for the team. He could be your leadoff hitter if you need him to. He's been so spectacular, and I know I've been a Hassel guy, but if you watch baseball at all, you watch this team at all in the month of September especially, how could you not fall in love with Daylen Lyle and the way he plays the game? He's a triples just machine, and then turning one into an inside the Parker the other night in extra innings, he's a special player, man, and you've been on it all along, so credit to you.
Well, I mean, it's credit to him. I just sat here and liked him. I mean, I didn't do anything. But, like, I'll tell you what, you know, the speed and the energy, Tobes, and he's your kind of guy, too, of, like, he gets to second. He is fired up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the dugout's going to hear about it. And you've said this a lot, and I agree with you. They don't have enough of that. Like, they just, whatever that is, that kind of piss and vinegar, that, like, hair on fire, they're just not, that's what Dylan Cruz brings that they missed sorely when he was out. So what we talk about is like one of those hidden traits from him. I think Daylen Lyle's got that, and it's a cool element of his game as well. Next time we do a pod, which will be after this series, next series coming up, we're going to break down the individual award winners in the minor leagues that the Nats doled out. We'll go through the seasons those guys had among the prospects, and then I also want to get into some like burning bigger questions. You mentioned the outfield. Jacob Young is a gold glover, some of those things. And then we'll have a much bigger kind of season debrief as well. So we got a lot of content coming out in the days ahead on Bustin' Loose Baseball. So stick with us. Know it's been a grind, and I know it's been a tough season. But if you got Nats fans in your group chat, if you got buddies that love the Nats, please spread the word. Let them know that we do this pod multiple times a week and that it's going to be fun. I mean, this is an exciting day. It truly is. And I know Toby and myself, we are fired up about the future and the direction after a big hire today. Thanks for listening to Bustin' Loose Baseball.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.